Yo, Mark 9. They really don't think we can keep doing this.
The difference in the podcast is not too staged. Yes, and yeah. I don't like staged podcasts.
Right.
Yeah, because it reminds us of the traditional media.
Yeah. And when they say rolling, I can roll too.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we change when they say rolling. We kind of like be in a different status. Our mind, our body start to act a little bit like defensive in a way.
Maybe too aware, too conscious, which is not a very good thing, right? The natural state of the person doesn't come out. Yeah, I think one of the key secrets to having a good presentation is just don't focus too much on the self, right?
Yes, but how do you learn that? You train yourself, especially in the public speaking.
Right.
I noticed that you engage a lot the audience. Mm-hmm. You ask them to raise their hand
and
to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to keep them first very aware of you, and then it's you keep them engaged with you.
Yes, the number one problem of being in the audience is that there's no movement of the body. And so it entails a lot of brain work trying to absorb whatever the speaker is saying. And that's not a very good thing, especially if I have to do training from about, 9 o'clock until 5:30 in the afternoon. Mm. How do you keep them engaged? So having them raise up their hands, doing a little bit of body action will be very good to maintain that engagement and that attention as well.
Yeah. And are you finding it more hard to keep people attention, especially with maybe the new generation and then the social media and the attention timing is becoming small and small?
Correct. You got it right. Recent survey and research says that the average attention span of adults is 6 seconds.
Wow.
That's why in sales training, we do have a principle that says if at the first 6 to 8 seconds, you cannot grab the attention of your prospect, you lose him forever. So adults' attention span now is about 6 seconds, and they say that the attention span of goldfish is 8.
Oh,
I don't know how they measure goldfish, right?
Wow. You focus more on success and business in general, which is actually lifting up the generation and teaching them how to be aware of themselves and how to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to define the key elements of success. What is the main thing for success?
Mm-hmm. I don't actually teach people to be successful. I would inspire people, encourage them, and equip them with the principles of what they should do in order to arrive at something positive, because success is relative, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I would engage myself into doing is not to focus too much on success, but to focus on the process. You get a process right, we get positive results. And so when people ask me, so how do you... now that you are in the position where I am in, what's next for me now that I am successful? And the important thing I keep on saying is that by never thinking I am. And so success now becomes an outcome. It is an outcome of the process that you engage yourself every single day. And so rather than thinking about success, I would substitute that with the word progress. What progress am I attaining today? And so that's part of the process. You get a process right, you arrive at the right outcome.
That's great. And what's harder, and this is something you mentioned, is to maintain success, actually. Because we can be, and you said it's not a jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can be successful in maybe in one day or it's the second that would change our life.
Right.
But how to maintain that?
Especially the younger people have to understand this very important thing. At the very start, you need to have intensity. And that's where, you know, young people use words like passion and zeal and drive and enthusiasm. That's good for the start. But for you to attain long-term sustainable success, intensity is at the start. To get there, you need consistency. You know, it's when the things that you do seem to bore you. It's when you think like, I want to try something else. It's when you think like, I've been doing this. Is there anything I can do to improve? Of course there are ways. And that's when it hits you that you stay consistent on your goals. And that's where you begin to reap the rewards of success.
That's great. The new generation is having a difficulty to actually copy a pattern that we used to copy from our fathers and grandfathers in terms of business. Mm-hmm. One, because they can prove success in a different way because the technology is so fast.
Right.
And two is because maybe the father can't teach them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that gap is growing between the generations?
I have known of so many successful family businesses. They closed. When I asked them why, because none of my children would want to take over my business. So there's a big difference between understanding what used to work for us in the olden days and what's happening now in the modern days. Without the understanding of that, let me give you an example. The modern, the traditional concept of doing business is I'm going to start something on my own, grow it up big, and then one day I'm going to pass it over to my kids. It doesn't necessarily work that way now, because by the time they're grown up and you pass it on to them, your entire industry might have been disrupted. Your business might no longer even continue to exist. So what is important now is to understand how to train the children to develop an entrepreneurial mindset and to understand how to be adaptive, how to pivot, how to be flexible, and how to read the times and to get them to employ the skills that they've been trained at. And then I never thought of passing over my business to my kids, but I do want them to develop the skills to develop businesses for their own as well. So there's a huge difference now between then and now.
Yes, and do you think the comfort zone also plays a big role in that change? Because we are, you know, when we have a business, we get to get comfortable in that business, and we don't want to risk the change. And especially in this new technology, the change is massive and you don't see the future. You are just predicting, but you cannot see like before. There's no pattern that we can follow.
Right. The comfort zone is the most dangerous place where you can stay in. In business, we have a saying, the six most expensive words for business is, we've always done it that way, right? Now, I hear speakers say that the reason why people are resisting change, it is because they don't want to leave the comfort zone. Yes, but not entirely. The reason why there is this change, there's a couple of reasons behind. Number one, maybe sunk cost. I've invested so much in this. Now you want me to change? The second thing is the displeasure and the discomfort of new things. So it's not leaving the comfort zone that makes you uncomfortable. You know what makes you uncomfortable? It's growth.
Mm-hmm.
Growth brings you to places you've never been. So you got to be willing to take a look at that and to understand that in order to be successful in the new disruptive era, I got to go through the process of growth and feel uncomfortable first, invest in it, and then I can reap the rewards later on.
Yeah, we talked about the pattern that, which is actually the consistency that we have to do the things that sometimes we don't like, but how to be creative, especially creativity is breaking the patterns and not doing the things that has been shown success.
Right. And would you be asking me that question frame on different generations or in general, because they are not the same, right? For the older generations, just take a look at this. As we enter, kids are very creative. Then they go to school. What are they instructed to work on? do not call her outside the box. Stay within the box. And you got to make sure that you don't write anything outside the box. Then they enter the workplace and their bosses say, what did you think outside the box? But that's the kind of upbringing that we have had. Now, for the younger generation now, because of social media and access to information, we have to understand the philosophy of creativity now. Creativity is not about inventing new things that or coming up with a eureka moment. No, creativity is merely connecting the dots. Mm-hmm. So the more exposed you are to reading, learning, the more seminars you attend, the more options you have, the more ideas you have. And one day when the particular situation comes up, all you need to do is to connect the dots and say, this is what I learned from this book. This is what I learned from this speaker. And what if we do it differently? So that's what creativity is. Mm. And maybe one good example is this. When I was 30 years old, you know, I used to be young, you know.
You look 30 so far. You still look young.
Thank you. You're very kind. I asked our 60-year-old designer. I work in the garments company. And I said, where did you get your ideas on these beautiful color combinations for the summer season? And guess what he told me? From tropical fish. So he connected the dots from the colorful world of fish, and then he applied that into garments, into producing beautiful colors. So it's our ability to connect the dots mm-hmm. that make us creative.
So you think it's not only for young generation? Because you mentioned 60 years old, the designer. So we always say that the young are creative. Mm-hmm. So creativity can be with any age.
With any age, even at my age right now, I still try to be creative, and I way beyond 60 years old.
Yes, of course. talking about, drawing inside the box and not going outside the box, the educational systems, is it actually, looking at the changes in technologies, and by the time you finished your studies or universities, you go to your career and the whole thing is changed.
Education now is greatly challenged. It is simply because you try to take a look at the dots and try to study this. One of the dots indicate that in Silicon Valley alone, HR people are no longer interested in your academic achievements. They want to know what skills you have. Mm-hmm. When you take a look at Davos or World Economic Forum, they describe to you 10 crucial skills that are needed in this age of disruption. And out of the 10, I just discovered probably just one or two that requires a formal educational degree. So even in the field of education, you have to adapt to the changing times and understand what is it really that the people need to be educated and trained on that can make them relevant, and understand that that can also turn obsolete very quickly. So even the educational sector is greatly challenged by that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think the values and the foundation of values are the key to maintain the success and create a foundation for any change?
Correct. While things are changing, and they're not just changing, they are changing fast. There are things that should remain unchanged. Values are one of them. What are values anyway? Values serve as a compass that points to the proverbial north that can guide us to go through uncharted waters without losing track and going towards our right direction. So while everybody talks about, all these technology changes, guess what people are looking for? They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for trust. They're looking for respect. They're looking for all these things that have never changed. And quoting the famous words of Thomas Jefferson, he says that when it comes to fads and styles, we got to swim with the tide. But when it comes to values and principles, we got to be solid as a rock. They don't change at all.
Are you worried of the AI and the change in that matter, that it's going to affect our communication, or it's going to affect the authenticity of communicating with each other?
This brings me back to the last 10 years of the last century, when all this talk about the personal computer is going to come in, the machines are going to replace people. In fact, I have had people tell me, Francis, your job is done. You're toast. Everything now is online and everything else. So we seem to be having the same sentiment today. Machines and AI is going to replace people, while it is admittedly true in certain instances, but we have to qualify that. I think technology or artificial intelligence will replace mediocrity and brings in an ocean of work that what some particular experts are saying, an ocean of blandness, right? So we have to approach artificial intelligence and technology as a tool. But meanwhile, we still have to develop excellence. We have to develop ourselves to become better and then use that tool to enhance our ability to produce good work and ship them out. Mm. So for me, because I'm studying artificial intelligence, and by the way, I'm not afraid of artificial intelligence. I'm deeply concerned with natural stupidity.
Uh-huh.
So I'm studying what artificial intelligence can do, but I still have never given up on my drive to improve myself and to produce a body of work that is excellent, that can differentiate me from others.
I hope everyone is like this. Do you think it's going to divide us in a way that people were going to be more traditional and less communication is happening between each other because they want to take the route of meeting each other, of being, physically together and they don't want to go to that metaverse world in case it's coming?
Yeah. Nothing beats in-person interaction. I mean, I speak all the time. In 2021, when the whole world was closed down because of the pandemic, that was the height of my career. I did about 326 Zoom meetings and trainings that entire year. But that is nothing compared to being in person. And so what we need to understand is we're still humans. We are social creatures. Using the screen and technology is a good way to be able to reach out to people who are so far away, but that's not going to be the ultimate answer for everything, because as businesses now are experiencing, there's one huge word now, you're going to be keep on listening all over the place. There is the lack of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And engagement always entails personal relationship, and technology will not be able to replace that.
Yes, you have said our bodies lies on a couch and our minds is on a treadmill.
Correct.
And this one takes me to the social media again, because we are actually watching status of people on social media.
Yes.
And we are seeking validation
right
through that. And you mentioned also that Facebook is a billboard. It's not a diary.
Not a diary. That's
what do you mean about that?
Well, we always post our best stuff. We post it there. I'll give you an actual case. There's this bright young guy who posts happy stuff and successful stuff. 3 days later, he took his own life. Very strange. And that's why my caution to the young generation is you don't get your value from validation, from likes and comments and shares, because you are who you are. And you're not defined by what other people's comments for you or against you. You have to understand the solidity of your identity as well. So that's why I said Facebook and social media is a billboard. It's not a diary. Nobody puts all those difficult stuff in it for public consumption. And if you are not aware of that, you tend to compare yourself and say, why is he having a happy life and I'm not? And that's not a good thing.
It's true. And with all this technology, like the big question is, are we going to a better life?
Technology is always a tool. Technology increases our productivity, but I got to make sure that I don't let technology rule over me. I use technology, technology doesn't use me. And so the life in terms of productivity is something that technology will be able to contribute well. But what the world will become because of technology is another session that we got to talk about. Mm-hmm. They're not the same. However, this is what I would say. You can't stop that anymore. You have to learn how to live with it and how to use it correctly in your favor in order to sustain your life goals and to achieve success.
Yeah. You focus a lot on IQ, EQ, and AQ. And mm-hmm. also I learned a new one, which is LQ. Mm-hmm. And how important to be self-aware of ourselves and to learn how to have a better EQ, I would say. Do you consider IQ as something we born with?
Well, IQ usually refers to the measurement of our cognitive knowledge and ability, which was okay for a while. Mm-hmm. But then we begin to understand that, hey, in order for you to make use of your knowledge, you got to have EQ, which is emotional quotient, because your inability to manage your moods and emotions will be the very thing that will destroy you, no matter how much you learn and how much you know. And then later on, and this is interesting, because as the world becomes more difficult to live in, AQ now enters the picture with this adversity quotient to be able to bounce back. And well, the modern day word is to have the grit and to have the resilience. And Harvard study introduces another Q. It's SQ. So people are now saying it's a social quotient. Actually, Harvard refers to that as a spiritual quotient. Because we are not just physical beings. We have that existential being within us to be able to engage us in learning how to engage with other people. And then I said, LQ now is extremely important. So some people say, LQ means lover's quarrel. No, LQ now means likability quotient. You just have to make yourself being interested in other people. And you have to make people like you, because the fact is, you get promoted, you get success when they like you more. And when you are disliked, no matter how better you are, they won't give you that access to promotions and to success. So likability quotient now is extremely important. Maybe another word to better understand it is you got to have people skills, know how to communicate with other people and know how to negotiate and how to handle relationships as well.
So we can improve that. We can work on, this. It's not something we burn with. That's good to hear. Right. You know, I thought that also the EQ is something like a street smart. Is it EQ?
Well, there's a lot of people who are street smart and that they can't control their emotions as mm-hmm. well. But it's not just street smart, but it's your ability to control your emotions mm-hmm. in a way that you don't react, but you respond correctly to a given situation.
That's great. Do we always need to read people to communicate with them? Mm.
I'm a communicator myself. What is important for me as a communicator is to be able to read the room, is what they say. In other words, you don't just communicate by monologue, not caring about what other people, but what is important for me is, am I resonating with the people? Mm. So I need to read them. I need to make sure that, you first seek to understand before you are understood. Not an original line from me, but that's important for communications.
That's quite difficult in front of thousands of people, mm-hmm. but you're doing amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And tell me more about your book. And if I want to give it a flavor, what flavor would it be? If it's a fruit, describe.
I'd say a flavor.
Yeah.
I would say that is probably a banana.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's slippery as well. It contains short articles. The other day, I just got somebody saying, Francis, I got to discover you. And I went to a bar and somebody left your book there. I said, oh, my books are now in bars. I thought they were inside toilets. But it's maybe it's a banana thing. You can slip over it. If you might find it slippery, but then you taste it and maybe you can find some happy taste.
Well, definitely it has the vitamins, which is amazing. Okay, describe your writing process in three emojis.
In three emojis, smile, maybe a little bit of smiles can come in different way. A little bit of naughty smile as well, because I want to tease people. And maybe the other one will be a little bit of a shock and surprise. Yeah.
Amazing. And you said the best way to learn is to have fun.
Right.
And you are so entertaining with your speeches and seminars that you do. How important is that, is to have fun?
Yeah. Have you ever experienced being in a class with boring professors? You feel like every single second is torture. But then when you come across a professor that makes you laugh, makes it entertaining, you actually remember the lessons. So I never knew that what I have believed in many years ago can be coined a term today. It's called edutainment. You combine education with entertainment and you hold the audience's attention. You get them to think, you get them to laugh, and they actually learn the lesson.
That's great. Stories are very important in our life. You use them a lot. Also, you use some personal stories and you talk about your family. Mm-hmm. How's your kids are doing? Maybe now they are older in fashion. Your daughter is in the field of fashion.
She's a fashion designer, yeah. And, I talk a lot, and stories are extremely powerful. Mm-hmm. Let me just share with you something I learned from Hollywood actor Kevin Spacey. When he walked up the stage, he said, I'm going to give you the 6 most powerful words in the world. Of course, there's a little bit of exaggeration. He says, these 6 powerful words are so powerful enough, it can stop an unruly child from being unruly. It can stop a violent board meeting from quarrels. And here are the 6 words. Let me tell you a story. And then I realized that's true. So I researched on that. And I said, why are narratives or storytelling so powerful? Because the fact is, we don't really think in terms of words. Mm-hmm. We always think in terms of pictures. And stories paint pictures so we can relate with. So it's extremely important. And so when I talk about my family, when I talk about my children, I'm presenting a story about being human and being a family person. And because I teach on leadership, that's also my way of saying leadership begins at home. So it's not just preaching about it, it's practically living it for people to see.
That's amazing. Mr. Francis, what's the most thing that make you happy in life?
Always together with my family. And now the intensity of my happiness have increased. I now have grandchildren. So that they make me happy, because at the end of the day, all those toil and sweat and everything is intended for them. So you got to enjoy them. And so what gives me happiness is when you have a loving family that loves each other as well. So that's what gives me happiness.
That's great. I want to end it with, if someone is in a road of success or life or achieving his goals, and he reached to an intersection, and if he wants to make a decision whether to go right or left, what is the advice that you would give, one thing that he should think of if he doesn't know which way to go?
What intersection would that be? Are you referring to a career or?
To success in life, to take a decision in career.
Oh, I would always say that at that particular crossroad, you need to exercise the values. The lesser known brother of Walt Disney, Roy Disney, says, if you have predetermined values, it's extremely easy to make a decision. So people make mistakes when they're in a crossroad and they don't know which path to take. Now, it becomes a little bit clearer when you understand, if I take this road, it's going to violate my value. If I take this road, my value remains intact. That will be the road that I'll take.
That's amazing. And then we don't have to regret if we follow the values.
Yes, yes, that's true.
Mr. Francis, thank you so much. It was meeting you.
Thank you for having me.
I hope your seminars will go great as usual.
Thank you.
And is your first time in Dubai?
No. In fact, I was here last October.
Okay.
And this would probably make my, seventh trip?
Oh my God. So I'm the one who should know this. And how do you find Dubai?
Fascinating. I've been telling my friends, you want to see the city of the future, you don't have to wait for the future, you come to Dubai. Yesterday, we had a great time visiting the Museum of Tomorrow, and it's a fascinating place. And so look at the architecture, look at everything else. This is what modernity is all about. And the people here are fascinating. And don't talk to me about food. Man, it's one of the best places you can go.
What's your favorite food?
Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I love. And locally, I love dates and the nuts and everything else. Yeah.
Mr. Francis, thank you so much.
You're welcome.